This week's parsha is parshas Vezois HaBracha, and we are going to focus on the end of the parsha, on chapter 34, pasuk number 5, the last 8 psukim of this parsha, and we will start with pasuk number 5. There the pasuk says, Vayomos Shom Moshe Eved Hashem. Moshe Rabbeinu, the servant of Hashem, died Shom there, Be'eretz Moav, in the land of Moav, Al Pi Hashem, by the mouth of Hashem. Devan Ezra explains that Al Pi Hashem means by the word of Hashem, that Hashem told him to come up and die. And Rashi explains Al Pi Hashem, by the mouth of Hashem, that it was actually done b'neshika, with a kiss. The Gemara says that Moshe Rabbeinu died by a kiss of Hashem, and that is the lightest death possible. The pasuk continues, Va'ikbar oiso bagai be'eretz Moav. He buried him in Gai, in the land of Moav, mul beis peor, opposite the idol of beis peor, ve'loyoda ishes kivrosoi, and nobody knows his burial ground, ad ayom hazeh, until this day. Devan Ezra explains, what does it mean, ad ayom hazeh, up to this day? So Devan Ezra says that divrei Yeshua, this is what Yeshua wrote. Ve'itochen, it could be, shekosav zeh ba'achris yomov, at the end of Yeshua's days, he wrote that nobody knew where Moshe Rabbeinu is buried up until this day. Because the Ebenezer is bothered, what do you mean until this day? How does somebody know if you know when Moshe Rabbeinu is buried or not? So therefore, the Ebenezer says that Yeshua wrote this last portion at the end of Yeshua's life. Could be Yeshua wrote this portion at the end of Yeshua's life. And there he wrote down that until this day, until the end of Yeshua's life, nobody knew where Moshe Rabbeinu is buried. The Rachaim is very upset at this interpretation of the Evan Ezra. Because according to the Evan Ezra, it comes out that not Moshe Rabbeinu finished writing the Torah, other people also helped to write the Torah. And even more amazing, according to the Evan Ezra, comes out that it is possible that the Torah was written in different times, that Moshe Rabbeinu finished writing the Torah, and the Torah was only completed at the end of Yeshua's life, not at the same time, not the same occurrence, that even later on, after everything had happened, there are people still amending to the Torah. And he says that if you come out and say this such a thing, you give credence for the goyim, that the goyim, or you give ammunition to the goyim, that the goyim say, the nations of the world say that Jews composed this book, that this book wasn't divinely written, wasn't given by Hashem and Moshe. Therefore, the Rachaim says that ad ayom hazeh, up to this day, is Hashem saying, that Hashem is telling you that throughout eternity, nobody is ever going to know the burial ground of Moshe Rabbeinu. And in fact, Moshe Rabbeinu himself, according to the Rachaim, wrote these words. It is very interesting that this whole argument between the Rachaim and the Evan Ezra, it's actually a Gemara in Baba Basra, Daf Tezvav Amad Alef. There the Gemara says, the Tanya we learned, Vayomash Shamoshe Evet Hashem, that Moshe, the servant of Hashem, died. The Gemara asks a question. Efsher Moshe mes, Moshe is dead, the Kosav, and he writes, Vayomos Shom Moshe, and he writes that Moshe Rabbeinu died. In truth, the Gerse on Menachas Daf Lamed Amud Aleph says, Efsher Moshe Rabbeinu chai, Moshe Rabbeinu is alive, and he writes, Vayomos Shom Moshe, and he writes that Moshe Rabbeinu died. It cannot be, because Memunavshach, if he's already dead, how can he write? And if he's still alive and he writes Vayom Hashem Moshe, it is a lie. How can he write he died when he's still alive? So technically there's a contradiction and we cannot rectify it. If he's alive, he cannot write that he died because it's a lie. And if he's dead, then how can he write down Vayom Hashem Moshe? He cannot write down he died. So no matter how you interpret it, it's not going to be right that he should write a lie in the Torah, or he should write the Torah while he is dead. The Gemara answers, Elo atkan kosav Moshe, up to this point is Moshe Rabbeinu's writing. Mikan ve'elach, from here on, kosav Yeshua, Yeshua wrote this statement. Divrei Rav Yehuda. So comes out, Rav Yehuda says, that up to this point, up to the pasuk Vayomas Moshe, Moshe Rabbeinu wrote, from here on, Yeshua wrote the last 8 psukim of the Torah. V'amrlo, and some people say that wasn't Rav Yehuda who says, was Rav Nachem who says. Amar loy Rav Shimon, Rav Shimon argues, Efsher, Sefer Torah, Chosar, Os Achas? Is it possible that the Sefer Torah is missing one letter? How can you say that Moshe Rabbeinu didn't write the whole Torah? Moshe Rabbeinu ksiv lakoach es Sefer HaTorah zeh? The Sefer Torah is not kosher. It's missing 8 psukim according to you. When Moshe Rabbeinu died, he didn't write this 8 psukim. And Yeshua came and wrote this psukim. So it comes out when Moshe Rabbeinu gave the Torahs to the 12 tribes. And one Sefer Torah should put next to the Ark of Covenant to be a witness for the Jewish people. Then it's written, Lakoach, take this Sefer Torah and put it next to the Oren. Comes out, the Sefer Torah is missing. How can you say that Moshe Rabbeinu did not write the Torah? The question is, it's written by Yom HaShem Moshe. How possible for somebody to write by Yom HaShem Moshe that Moshe Rabbeinu died there when technically he is still alive? And if he's not alive, who wrote it? So we have, again, we have the contradiction that if he's alive, how can you write that he is dead? It's a lie. It looks like you're lying. And if he's dead, then who wrote the rest? Rav Shimon answers, Atkan HaKadosh Baruch Hu Oymer U'Moshe Koisef. Up until now, Hashem Yisborach is saying, Moshe is repeating it and writing. Mikan Ve'elach, U'Moshe HaKadosh Baruch Hu Oymer U'Moshe Koisef V'Dema. From here on, Hashem is saying it, and Moshe is writing Bedema with tears. The Ritva gives 2 different interpretations. What does it mean he was writing with tears? One interpretation, which quotes Rabbi Meir, says that up until this point, the whole Torah was written with dyo, with black ink. From here on, Moshe Rabbeinu, in order not to appear that he's lying, he wrote with tears instead of ink. In other words, he used his own tears to write instead of ink. And they say that according to this, it's very good why in the end of the Torah it's written that his vigor was complete, veloy kohaso enoy, and that his eyes did not become diminished. That even though he was able to write this 8 psukim with tears, still his eyes did not become diminished. And according to this, is also very good. How is it possible that Moshe Rabbeinu wrote on the day of his death 13 Sifrei Torahs, 13 Torahs, according to the Midrash, if the day of his death was Shabbos? We say Tzitzkascha on Shabbos Mincha, because traditionally Moshe Rabbeinu, David, and Yosef died on Shabbos Mincha. So if he died on Shabbos Mincha, how is it possible on Shabbos to write 13 Sifrei Torahs? But according to this answer, that he write with Dema, he wrote it with tears, since tears are only Osur Derabbanon, they're only prohibited rabbinically because it is a writing that is not maintain himself, Ksav She'enu Miskayem, it's a writing that is not permanent, and to be liable for Shabbos, you're required to do a permanent writing. But the rabbis told you that you're not allowed to write if any kind of things, because we're afraid that you're going to come to write with permanent things. But since we're talking about Moshe Rabbeinu, Moshe Rabbeinu didn't have to keep the rabbinic enactments that were going to be done later. So therefore, he wrote with the tears, and the 13 Sifrei Torahs, it could be written with tears in a way that is not finished and it's not complete. And afterwards, Yeshua came and Yeshua saw the writings and Yeshua actually filled it in with the oil of black ink. So Moshe Rabbeinu, according to this, wrote the whole Torah. And he wrote the last 8 psukim with tears. And afterwards, Yeshua came and Yeshua filled it in with ink. Like a sofer, sometimes when you write the last letters of the Torah, when you make a sefer Torah, the sofer has pre-written already the letters, and all we do is fill in the blanks. So Moshe Rabbeinu pre-wrote it with tears, and Yeshua traced it back with black ink. And the other interpretation he writes down is that up until now, Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu what to say. Moshe Rabbeinu repeated every word and wrote down. But here, because he was crying so much, he did not repeat the words. He just wrote down. And some Mefarshim bring down that he actually did both. That he didn't repeat the words and he wrote the Torah with tears instead of ink. In other words, because he was crying so hard of the sadness of his death, even though he was alive, he wrote the Torah with tears. He wrote the last 8 psukim with tears, and also he did not repeat in order not to say a lie from his mouth. He did not say it with a mouth and wrote down, he just wrote it down with a different way. According to this comes out that Moshe Rabbeinu actually wrote the last 8 psukim of the Torah, but he made 2 changes. One, in order to avoid a lie, to be a lie completely, he changed that he didn't use ink, which is permanent, and he uses tears, which is something that's not permanent, so won't be there forever. The other change he made is that normally he would repeat the word of Hashem, and here he didn't want to repeat the word of Vayom Hashem Moshe, that Moshe Rabbeinu died there, because he didn't want to say a falsehood, to say a lie. So according to this, he neither lied in writing because it was not permanent, and he neither lied in speech because he did not repeat what Hashem told him. He did both with tears, and the reason he didn't repeat is because he was crying too hard. So the Gemara continues, Keman Ozle Hod Omar Rav Shua Bar Abba Omar Rav Gidl Omar Rav. According to whom does the saying that Rav Shua, the son of Abba, the son of Gidl, son of Rav, said, Shmoyne psukim shabatoira, that the last 8 psukim of the Torah, yachid koire oison, that a single person could read it. Leima, let's say, Rav Yudahi veloy Rav Shimon. Let's say that the reason that a single person could read, we're going to explain soon also what does it mean a single person could read. Let's say that this is what Rav Yudah says and not Rav Shimon, because Rav Yudah holds that Yeshua wrote the last 8 psukim. So therefore, maybe because of that, a single person may read it. Gemara answers, Afila teimo Rav Shimon. I could say that it's Rav Shimon that Rav Shimon holds that Moshe Rabbeinu wrote. But since Moshe Rabbeinu wrote it in a different way, he wrote it with tears. Hoel v'ishtano, ishtano. Since it was changed, it was changed. According to this, we see that the fact who wrote the last 8 psukim of the Torah is actually a machloikes between Rav Yehuda and Rav Shimon. Rav Yehuda holds that Yeshua wrote the last 8 psukim of the Torah, and Rav Shimon holds that Moshe Rabbeinu wrote the last 8 psukim of the Torah. The question is, how can the Or HaChaim be so upset at Devin Ezra for trying to say that Yeshua wrote the last 8 psukim of the Torah, Adayom Hazeh, up until this day, is up until time of Yeshua? Rav Yudah himself holds that Yeshua wrote the last 8 psukim. The Or HaChaim knows of the Gemara, because the Gemara is in 2 places. How can he be so upset at Devin Ezra for trying to say that Yeshua wrote the last psukim? We must say that the Or HaChaim is really not upset at the writing of the last 8 psukim of the Torah, that he may agree that Yeshua wrote like Rav Yudah in the Gemara, but the Gemara never even considered that the 8 psukim were written decades later, that only after the conquest of Eretz Yisrael, the end of Yeshua's life, like the Ebenezer writes down, that could be that Yeshua wrote this posuk ba'achris yomov in the end of Yeshua's life, that never occurred to the Gemara, because according to this, anybody who wants to amend something, not at that point in period. We understand that at that point in time, before Yeshua came into Eretz Yisrael, that then we could write everything down. But after that, that you should still be able to add to the Torah, right? Write down Ada Yom Hazeh, like until this day, which according to the Ebenezer means the end of Yeshua, that is the upsetness of the Rachaim. That's why Rachaim is screaming that it's impossible. We give ammunition to the Goyim, to the nation of the world, to say that the Torah was composed by people and not by Hashem. What we mentioned before, that the Gemara says that these 8 psukim, yochid, koire oisam beveis haknesses, that a single person may read it or has to read it in the shul, Rashi explains that on these 8 psukim we do not divide them into 2 people. Only one single person is required to say, to show that these 8 psukim are different from the rest of the Torah. You are not allowed to make half soccer, to make an interruption in the middle, split this aliyah in 2. That's Rashi's opinion and Tois's opinion. The Shalz and Shuvas Chacham Tzvi, Siman Yud Gimel, brings a Mordechai. The Mordechai says, because it says that Yochid Koire Oison, the Mordechai translates Yochid as an important man, that a rabbi or somebody, a Talmid Chacham, should read the last 8 psukim of the Torah. And the Mordechai continues that from here came the minhag that Chosen Torah, the one who finishes the Torah, usually you give it to a rabbi or to the Talmud Chacham in the community. The Chacham Tzvi asks a question on the Mordechai. First, he asks a question from the Gemara. The Gemara has a question, who wrote the last 8 psukim? One opinion we mentioned, Rav Yehuda, says that Yeshua wrote. And the second opinion says that Moshe Rabbeinu wrote, but he wrote in a different way, which is less important than the written the proper way. So regardless how we hold, both opinions believe that the last 8 psukim is something less than the whole Torah. So why would you give to a rabbi something that seems to be less than the whole Torah? And the Rambam, when the Rambam brings this halacha of Yochid Koire Oison, the Rambam says that this last 8 psukim, we do not need a minion to read it. Even a single person, even a Yochid, is allowed to read it in the Beis HaKnesses. Normally, to read the Torah in the Beis HaKnesses, we require to have a minion. But this last 8 psukim, we are not required to have a minion. So you see clearly that it is less than the other psukim. How can the Mordechai say that we should honor a rabbi because this is Yochid, which is a special person, should read it? This is theoretically less than the other psukim of the Torah, because either it's written by Moshe Rabbeinu in a roundabout way, or it's written not by Moshe Rabbeinu, it's written by Yeshua. How come the Mordechai writes that you should give it to the rabbi? That's a question of the Chacham Tzvi on the Mordechai. The Sefer Yaros Dvash brings a question of the Chacham Tzvi on the Mordechai, and he answers according to the Yerushalmi Megillah, Perek Gimel, Halacha Zayin. Originally, when they started reading the Torah, the first person who got Aliyah, he made the first bracha, and the last person made the last bracha. Nowadays, every person who gets an Aliyah makes the first bracha, and he makes a last bracha after the reading. We make a Shabbat Rabbanu Mikolo Amim before reading the Torah, and a Shanosalonu Torah Semes after reading the Torah. But originally, only the person who got the first Aliyah made the first bracha, and the person who had the last Aliyah made the last bracha. Let's make believe it's a Shabbos. Then the first person would get Asher Bochabonu, the Kohen would get Asher Bochabonu, who makes the first bracha. he would not make after bracha after his reading, and the Levi, Israel, and all the aliyahs after until Shvi will go up, read the Torah, and not make any bracha neither before or after, and only by the Shvi, the last person who gets Shvi, would make a after bracha shanosalon Torah semes, and he wouldn't make a pre bracha. But the Yerushalmi says that on the last 8 psukim of the Torah, then you're required to make a pre-bracha, that the person who gets, even though he's behind everybody else, and somebody else already had pre-done a first bracha, but the last 8 psukim of the Torah, the person who gets the aliyah is required to make a bracha before and a bracha after. So you see that it is more important, since it's required to make 2 brachas, and most people don't make 2 brachas. Therefore, he brings down, you should give it to a Talmud Chacham that knows how to make the brachas. The whole Torah, you don't technically don't have to make only 1 bracha. Either you make the first bracha or the last bracha. Because if you have 3 aliyahs, and the first person, the Kohen, would make the first bracha, and the Israel would make the last bracha, and the Levi will do no brachas at all. But here, on Besois HaBracha, on the last 8 psukim of the Torah, the person who gets aliyah, he's required to make a pre-bracha, and he's required to make an after-bracha. The question that the Kli Chemda ask, I understand now that the Mordecha is answered, that you see that this 8 psukim require their own bracha, but the question is why? Why would they require their own bracha if we have a machloikas, if Yeshua wrote it, or Moshe Rabbeinu wrote it in a lesser way than normal? Technically, we should not require to make a bracha by themselves. They definitely should not be more important than the rest of the Torah, unless you're trying to prove something. What is it that you're trying to demonstrate, or you're trying to teach us by having somebody make separate brachas on this 8 psukim? The Kli Chemda answers, therefore, a beautiful interpretation. He explains, according to the Gemara in Megillah, there the Gemara says that Haman, he threw lotteries on the days, went to kill the Jews, and the lottery fell on the 7th of Adar. And he became very happy on the 7th of Adar, because that is the day that Moshe Rabbeinu died. And he thought, since Moshe Rabbeinu died, that means that the Jewish mazel is going to be bad. But the Gemara says that he didn't know that Moshe Rabbeinu died on the 7th of Adar, but he was also born on the 7th of Adar. So the Kli Chemda explains this Gemara saying that a person should not think that when Moshe Rabbeinu died, the Torah died. No, when Moshe Rabbeinu died, the Torah sprouted again, and it was sprouted into Yeshua. Like the Gemara says that that while the sun, in other words, while Moshe Rabbeinu's sun did not set, Zorcha Shimsho Shal Yeshua, the sun of Yeshua started shining. In other words, Hashem makes it that one tzaddik goes away, the other tzaddik takes his place, and that tzaddik gets his strength from Moshe Rabbeinu. Yeshua got his strength because Moshe Rabbeinu put his hand over him. So before one sun sets, the other sun is already taking its place. It's shining and taking its place, so the Jewish people shouldn't be without a leader, and the Torah should continue. So we should think that as soon as Moshe Rabbeinu died, the Torah is extinguished. No, Yeshua is taking over the place, and Yeshua is shining. And he explains, the Gemara means to say like that. We know that this 8 psukim, a yochid reads it. If I hold that Yeshua wrote the last 8 psukim, I understand why that the Yerushalmi says that he has to make a brocha, shabocha bonu mikolo amim, venosalonu esterosoi, that even though normally you don't make a pre-brocha, but here this 8 psukim you have to make a pre-brocha, I understand very well that even though Yeshua wrote this 8 psukim, we're still connecting it to Moshe Rabbeinu to let you know that the strength for us to learn this 8 psukim come from Moshe Rabbeinu. Even though Moshe Rabbeinu is not alive and Yeshua wrote this psukim, still his strength was from Moshe Rabbeinu. Therefore, to emphasize it, we make special a bracha, Shebach Rabbanu Mikol Amim, that Hashem chose us from all the nation, V'nosan Lanu Ester Osoy, and gave us his Torah, that even though Yeshua's, whatever Yeshua's is going to write, he still comes from the strength of Moshe Rabbeinu, from the Torah of Moshe Rabbeinu. And that's specifically why you would get a Talmud Chacham to say this 8 psukim, because you want to show not only Yeshua who got his strength, even though he wrote himself, but he got his strength from Moshe Rabbeinu, but every Talmud Chacham, every rabbi in every generation gets his strength from the light of Moshe Rabbeinu, even though it's written by Yom HaShem Moshe, Moshe Rabbeinu died, it was only maybe a physical death, but his spiritual intellect or his spiritual enlightenment goes on through generations. But according to Rabbi Shimon, that Rabbi Shimon says that Moshe Rabbeinu wrote these letters with tears, how come we have somebody special read it? How come we have separate brachas and somebody special read it? So the answer is that since Moshe Rabbeinu wrote it Bedimua, he wrote in a different way. So don't think that if you do it a little bit differently, it's not Torah's Moshe Rabbeinu. It's still Torah's Moshe Rabbeinu. That all the Rabbanim that are going to get Chidushim in future, they also come from the strength of Moshe Rabbeinu. And according to the Vilna Gaon, which the Vilna Gaon calls the Ramam Epano, which says that Moshe Rabbeinu wrote Bedimua, which I didn't mention this answer before, but Moshe Rabbeinu wrote it with Dimua, with tears. They actually don't translate Dimua tears. They answer that Dimua means mixing. They explain, when the Gemara asks a question, how is it possible that Moshe Rabbeinu wrote Vayom HaShem Moshe, that Moshe died if he was alive? How is it possible that he wrote a lie? And more importantly, how can we say that Hashem would be so cruel to write down Vayom HaShem Moshe, that Moshe Rabbeinu died, that a person should write on himself that he died? I understand the Gemara's answer that he wrote with tears, he was choking up because of what he wrote, but that doesn't answer how can Hashem be so cruel to write this down. So the Vilna Gaon brings the Ramam Epano, which is actually quoted by the Eitz Yosef, which says that Bidimua doesn't mean he wrote it with tears, he wrote it with mixed letters. In other words, the last 8 psukim of the Torah, Moshe Rabbeinu just wrote all the letters, and after Moshe Rabbeinu's death, the letters came into place, Hashem put it into place, what is supposed to be where, and the words is supposed to be composed. And the word Dimua comes from the word Hamadame Satruma, that somebody who has a mixture from Truma, not from the word tears, from the word of a mixture. Like if you have a mixture of Truma, what you have to do with it? Again, Moshe Rabbeinu actually wrote all the Torah. He wrote every single letter of the Torah. But a lot of the letters, he didn't know the meaning. It was just a jumble of letters that Hashem told him to write down. And those portions that he told to write down formed later the 8 psukim of the Torah. Therefore, it's answered that in truth, Moshe Rabbeinu did not lie, because he didn't write actually the words that he died. After his death, the words came into place. And also, he wasn't pained because he didn't know what's going to be written in those words. But nonetheless, we see that after his death, still Torah develops, that the words become Torah. Therefore, specifically, the Mordechai says that Talmid Chacham should get the Aliyah for these statements, for this last 8 psukim, because since these 8 psukim were put together after Moshe Rabbeinu's death, true, he wrote, everything comes from Torah's Moshe, but the words and ideas become formed after Moshe Rabbeinu's death, and to teach you that throughout generations, all Talmid Chachamim get their strength from the Torah, the same way Moshe Rabbeinu wrote the letters and didn't know what it means after his death, it comes together, so to every Talmid Chacham who gets inspiration to write something new in Torah, gets his inspiration from Moshe Rabbeinu's Torah. And therefore he has to say before, Shabbach Rabbanu Mikol Amim, V'nosan Lanu, and he gave us Estoy Rosoy, the Torah. And that's what Gemara says, Hoil V'ishtana, since it was changed, therefore it was changed. And therefore it's proper that we should not make any interruptions in there, and it's proper that only Talmid Chacham should read it, and it should make a bracha before and after to give the same importance as regular Torah, so everybody should understand that this is Torah. And with that, we answer the questions of the Chacham Tzvi from the Gemara, that the Gemara seemed to imply, since Yeshua wrote it, or since it was written a different way, it's not the same level of the Torah. Then how come you have a Talmud Chacham read it? That true, it's not the same level of the Torah, and because of that specifically, we want a Talmud Chacham to read, to teach you to elevate it to a high level, to know that even though it's not clearly the same level of the Torah, but nonetheless the inspiration comes from the Torah. That person shouldn't think that inspiration wasn't around. All the inspiration you get is from Torah's Moshe, and Moshe Rabbeinu already saw everything, Masha Talmud, Osit Leis Chadash. Moshe Rabbeinu was able to see even what a student is going to innovate. Therefore, we want Talmud Chacham to read the last portion of the Torah to emphasize this point. The only question is still the Rambam. The Rambam mentioned before that the last 8 psukim, you don't require to have a minyan that one person could read. And now how are we going to reconcile the Mordechai with the Rambam's interpretation of the Gemara, which seems to be that clearly a lower level of importance that even an individual could read. And you do not require to have a minyan, 10 people, to have a quorum to read those psukim. Those 8 psukim, you don't require to have a quorum. You could read it in the Beis HaKnesses individually. So the Kli Chemdo answers it in even a nicer way. He explains that we know normally the reason that we require to have 10 people read the Torah is because with 10 people we have Hashra'as Hashchina. With 10 people we have the divine presence standing here. If a minyan, we have a stronger divine presence. Whatever the divine presence is, because with Gemara says 2 people there's a divine presence, 3 people is divine presence, 10 people is divine presence. Obviously there are different levels of divine presence, but at 10 people here, by Kriya Satora, bringing a Torah, required to have 10 people to have the divine presence on you. And he explains that the reason that we require to read the Torah with 10 people is because since normally we had Moshe Rabbeinu as the intermediary between Hashem and us, therefore everything that Hashem said, Moshe Rabbeinu was the interruption. Therefore, we require to have 10 people to elevate and bring the Shekhinah down to the Torah, to our reading of the Torah, whatever Shekhinah's level is, to bring it down to our reading, because we had a barrier of Moshe Rabbeinu and Hashem could not speak directly to us. Therefore, we require to have 10 people for us to be able to elevate ourselves and to able to have the Shekhinah come down to us. Without 10 people, we don't merit to have the Shekhinah come down to us. So the Gemara means to say like that. Bishloime, according to Rav Yehuda, according to the opinion of Rav Yehuda, that Yehoshua wrote the Torah, I understand very well why you're not required to have a minyan to read this portion. Since Hashem spoke directly, and it's not possible to say that Yehoshua was a block, Yehoshua spoke to Hashem, because the only person that Hashem spoke directly to was Moshe Rabbeinu, like the pasuk brings down, ponim el ponim, Hashem speaks to Moshe Rabbeinu face to face, then Moshe Rabbeinu could be a block from Hashem's revelation, from Hashem's word to the Jewish people. But for sure, Yehoshua could not be a block. So therefore, I understand if Yehoshua wrote those words, the last 8 psukim, then there was no block between Hashem's voice and the Jewish people receiving this last 8 psukim. Then I understand why a single person may read it, because there was never a block. So there is, even in this 8 psukim, Hashra'as Hashchina, a high level of divine presence in this 8 psukim, because there was no filtering by Moshe Rabbeinu. Yehoshua just wrote directly what Hashem told him, and there was no blockage by Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu did not intercept it and write it. But if you hold that Moshe Rabbeinu wrote this 8 psukim, so the question is, according to Rab Shimon that holds that Moshe Rabbeinu wrote it, how come you are out to read by a single person? Why don't you say that you require to have 10 people like the rest of the Torah? So the Gemara answers that you're right. Even though Moshe Rabbeinu wrote this 10 psukim, nonetheless, these 8 psukim were written under different circumstances than the rest of the Torah. Like we mentioned before, the other parts of the Torah, Hashem spoke, and Moshe Rabbeinu repeated it, and then Moshe Rabbeinu wrote it down. But Moshe Rabbeinu repeating it, automatically that caused the blockage, and then he wrote it down. That was a separate action, so therefore, in order to elevate those writings, we require to have 10 people to read it in order to elevate those portions of the Torah. But in this last portion, Hashem spoke, and Moshe Rabbeinu wrote it directly without repeating it, like we mentioned, the Marshal says, because he didn't want to lie. So Moshe Rabbeinu wrote it directly on a piece of paper and didn't even repeat it. So there was no blockage, there was no interruption, there was no barrier between Hashem saying and Moshe Rabbeinu writing. Therefore, those 8 psukim has got Hashra'as Hashchina, has got Hashem's divine presence in it, even though Moshe Rabbeinu wrote it, because Moshe Rabbeinu did not say those words, and by not saying it, he did not make an interruption, and by not making interruption, he connected it directly to Hashem. Therefore, those words have Hashra'as Hashchina by themselves, and they don't need a quorum, a minyan of 10 people to elevate it. According to this, comes out that the Rambam is saying the opposite. The Rambam is saying that an individual could read these portions not because it's lesser of a Torah, quite opposite, because it's considered more holier than anything else, because since now Hashem spoke directly and was written directly from the word of Hashem, without interruption, without a blockage, without an interception by Moshe Rabbeinu, then it became holier. So therefore, even an individual is allowed to read it. And according to this, it's very good why the Chacham Tzvi says, oh, since in these words you have Hashra'as Hashchina, since in this word you have a divine presence in this word itself, then quite the opposite. We want just a Talmid Chacham, a righteous person, a rabbi, is the one who merits to read these words, because these last 8 psukim are so special that even individually you'll get divine presence for it. So therefore, we want specifically a rabbi or a Talmid Chacham to read those last psukim. The Medrash, this week's Parsha, has a long description how was the death of Moshe Rabbeinu, that first Hashem sent Gabriel, then he sent Michael, sent different angels to bring the Neshama of Moshe Rabbeinu, and we'll focus on what Moshe Rabbeinu told when Hashem sent the angel of death, which is the Samach Mem, which is the Satan. The Gemara says the Satan, the Yetzer Hara, and the angel of death are one and the same person. So he sent the Satan to bring the Neshama of Moshe Rabbeinu. So as soon as Moshe Rabbeinu saw the Satan, he told them, what did you come to do? I'm paraphrasing because it's a very long Midrash. The Satan answered, I came to take your Neshama, because all human beings, the Neshamas are given to me to take. So Moshe Rabbeinu answers, you cannot take me because I am greater than every human being. So the Samach Mem, the angel of death, asked him, what is your strength? So he says, I am Ben Amram. I am the son of Amram, which we're going to focus soon in this pasuk. But let me first continue the Medrash, that I came out of my mother's womb circumcised, and the day that I came out, I already prophesied that I am going to receive the Torah from fire. And when I was walking outside, I went into the king's palace and I took the crown and put it on my head. When I was 80 years old, I did all the miracles in Egypt. I took out 600,000 people in the eyes of the Egyptian. I split the sea in 12 splits. In other words, the sea was divided in 12 rows, one for each tribe to pass through. And I turned bitter waters to sweet waters. And I made myself a way to heavens. And I was fighting with the angels. And I received the Torah from fire. And I was under the throne of Hashem. And I was under the pillar of fire. And I spoke to Hashem face to face. I won over the heavenly court. And I disclosed Hashem's secret to people. And I received the Torah from the right hand of Hashem, and I taught the Torah to the Jewish people. And I fought Sihon v'Og, Sihon and Og, the two great kings, and I was able to defeat them. And I stopped the moon and the sun. Basically, Moshe Rabbeinu told the angel of death, how dare you come to take my neshama? I am above every human being. I'm able to do all these miracles, all these great things, and you have the chutzpah to come to kill me. Get away from me right now. The angel of death got scared, went back to Hashem, and then Hashem tells him to try again. Moshe Rabbeinu rebukes him again. In the end, Hashem tells Moshe Rabbeinu that he himself is going to take his neshama. That's why the pasuk says it. Vayikvar oisoi bagai, says the singular, and he buried him in Gai, which Rashi brings down that Kodesh Baruch Hu buried Moshe Rabbeinu himself. So Hashem himself took care of Moshe Rabbeinu. But we're going to focus that Moshe Rabbeinu answered them, I am Ben Amram. And we know that if somebody says Ben somebody, it's considered an insult. Like we mentioned by Pastor Shlach, when Kalev wanted to quiet the people, he said, is this the only thing that Ben Amram did to us? But when you don't call a person by his first name, don't call him Moshe Rabbeinu, you call him Ben Amram, is technically an insult. So if it is an insult, how come Moshe Rabbeinu said that, how come you're coming to kill me? I am Ben Amram. Moshe Rabbeinu answered the angel of death that I am Ben Amram. If we say Ben Amram is an insult, saying that you are the son of Amram is considered an insult. Another question we have that the Gemara in Adorim, the Flamet Tes, brings down, that when Korach was fighting and rebelling against Moshe Rabbeinu, the sun and moon came to Hashem and they said, Imato oise din li ben Amram onu ma'irim. They said that if Hashem makes justice for the son of Amram, then we are going to continue to be lit. If not, we're going to shut off our light. The question is, how can the sun and moon say, call also Ben Amram, if you give justice to the son of Amram? How come they didn't say, if you give justice to Moshe Rabbeinu? We mentioned that if you call a person Ben something, son of something is considered an insult. So how can the sun and moon say also that Ben Amram? Especially when they are trying to protect Moshe Rabbeinu and they trying to risk themselves for Moshe Rabbeinu. So the answer they give is a very beautiful answer. The Gemara says that four people died without sin. Four people in this world died without having any sin. They only died because of Adam HaRishon's mistake. And from there the Gemara learns that it's possible for a person to die without sin. The Gemara says, who are the four people? The Gemara says, Binyamin, Amram, Yishai and Kalev, the son of David. So it comes out according to this, Amram did not commit a sin. So they explain like that. When you are speaking to humans, humans don't know that Amram did not commit a sin. To call Ben Amram is an insult, because every time you speak to a human and you call him by his father's name, it's an insult. That means that he doesn't have his own merit, he has to rely on his father's merit. But when you're talking about a tzaddik, somebody who never sinned, then you want to be completely associated with him, and you want to say that I'm part of him and I never sinned. Therefore, the sun, the moon, which they are in heaven, they know the truth that Amram never sinned. So they allow to say Ben Amram, if you do justice for the son of Amram. The same thing when Moshe Rabbeinu is speaking to the Malach HaMavis, to the angel of death. The angel of death knows the truth that Amram did not sin, and he wants to make his case stronger. So he says, you won't be able to kill me because I am Ben Amram. I am the son of Amram, the son of this person who never sinned. But a normal human being which doesn't know what situation that person is not allowed to call somebody as the son of this, because that may be an insult. You just have to call a person by his proper name. So therefore, Kalev, when you're speaking to the Jewish people didn't know that Amram did not sin. So by him saying Ben Amram is an insult to Moshe Rabbeinu, and Kalev only used this statement of Ben Amram because he wanted to quiet the people by having them think that he's going to speak bad things against Moshe. But otherwise, you shouldn't call a person by Ben somebody, son of somebody. And Hashem Yisburach should help that the same way that we are finishing the Torah with Simcha, with happiness, that Bezois HaBrach is always read in Simchas Torah, Chutz La'aretz, and then we are happy. Hashem should help that this happiness should permeate the whole year. go into our neshama, and our simcha should be towards the benefits of other people. We should rejoice when we see other people gaining things, and we should cancel the sinas chinam, the idle hatred that we have in our hearts. If you do that and increase our Torah learning and our good deeds, Hashem should help that Mashiach should come in Her B'Yomeinu, and the Beis HaMikdash should rebuild, and we'll have a true simcha like it's supposed to be.